Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key.
Once again, to Glory United Ministries. Now, right now, we're waiting for our beloved people from South Carolina to come online. But in the meantime, I might as well open the line to see what the pastor wants me to do. Pastor Benjamin, your line is open.
Amen, amen. For truly, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We can't stop now, I tell you. This is the day that God has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We won't complain. We won't worry about what's going to happen on tomorrow, for the Bible declares that tomorrow will take care of the things in itself. And we are so grateful that we have a risen Savior whose name is Jesus the Christ, who is able to take care of tomorrow. So the songwriter says, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. For I don't borrow from the sunshine, for the clouds, they may turn gray. I don't know about the future, but I know what Jesus said. And today he walked beside me, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't understand, but this one thing I do know about tomorrow: he holds the future, for I know he holds My heart is heavy on this evening for my bishop. Bishop Ralph L. Jefferson has gone home to be with the Lord. And yes, he went home to be with the Lord, one of the old pioneers in the church, the grand old church of God in Christ. And I tell you, just the Lord had given it to me over a month ago that he was going to take the bishop. And I started to call his daughter and tell her to prepare that Dad was going to be leaving soon. But then I said, no, a lot of time people, even though it's a reality, but a lot of time people cannot accept that, or they don't want to hear that. Our loved ones are sick and all of that, but some of us still think they should be here to suffer on a daily basis when God can take them home and their suffering is over. They got a new body. They got a new attitude. They have been blessed by the best, and the Lord brought them home out of their pain and their suffering. And whether he remembered or not, God remembers. And you know one thing I found with my mother when we were going through with her, and even though she may not be able to tell me what she ate, but the Spirit of God in her identified with the Spirit of God. Her mind, her physical mind might have been forgetful of some things, but her spirit man never forgot to reverence who God is. All I had to do was say to Mother, Mama, God is good, and she would begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. I could say, Mama, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. And she said, thank you, Jesus. Oh, before she passed away, 2 days before she passed away, we prayed, laid hands, and prayed for her. And she just began to speak in tongues and bless his name. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real thing. And I'm not talking about Coca-Cola either. They had a commercial that said Coca-Cola is the real thing. But I'm talking about this real Jesus who walked in Galilee. This Jesus who taught beside the sea. This Jesus who saved my soul. Yes, we lost two giants here within a month's time. Bishop Jefferson's brother law passed away. So when I heard of the passing away of Elder Vickers, I said, well, then maybe that's what I was hearing and not Bishop. But you know, when you hear what you hear, you shouldn't insult God by saying, well, maybe I didn't hear it right, because now the bishop is gone, just like God told me he was going to take him. And not only that, in the Church of God in Christ, we lost another ecclesiastical giant, the great Rance Allen. I tell you, that young man sang that song. He was a heavy set man, but I'm telling you, Rance moved around like he was about 15 pounds. Rance was a heavy man. Rance could bend over and pull up them notes. He could get his dance in. And not too long ago, he was on the Word Network preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you, he loved that song that he wrote. There's something about the name Jesus. I salute both of my brothers in Christ on tonight, for they have made it to the other shore. We're yet here to have to endure what's about to come down the pipe. But honey, they have made it to the other side. They've gone to see their Creator. The Lord let us know that I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you'll be there also with me. Whether that place is paradise, whether that place is heaven, whether that place is here on the earth, for some teach that you're going to come back here and this is going to be your paradise. Well, I'm going to tell you it's like this. Somebody wrote a song, said, I don't know when and I don't know where, but where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. So wherever Jesus is, if you get your house in order tonight, he could call for you tonight. Make sure your house is in order, like he told Hezekiah. Get your house in order. And Hezekiah didn't waste any time getting his house in order. I don't know what he had to put in order. The scripture don't tell us that. It ain't none of your business. That was between Hezekiah and the Lord. But whatever it was that Hezekiah had to get right, he didn't waste no time getting the ears of God to hear him. Because before Lot could get out of the gate, and you know, that's some good stuff there. Before he could get out of the gate, God spoke and said, go back and tell him that I've added 15 more years to his life. Now, that's when you get the ear of God, you get results in a hurry. He didn't have to keep praying the same prayer every day. Whatever it was that he said, he meant business. Maybe he repented first and then prayed. Or maybe he repented while he was praying. But whatever he did, there's no need to speculate. Whatever he did, it worked. He got God's attention. And that's the way we need to be on this evening. We need to be so that we can get God's attention in a hurry. Where you don't have to wait year after year, day after day, hour after hour. We need to be able to get in touch with God in a hurry. I recall an incident that I had to pray for someone in a hospital. Back in 1986. And they said that the man had died, passed away, and I'm sitting in the waiting room of the ER. And when I heard the cry of the daughter over weeping over her dad being dead and remembering my own dad who was gone. My dad left me at 23 years old. And this young lady was crying over the death of her father. And I jumped to my feet and I told her, do you believe God? Do you believe God? And she said, yes. I said, well, then I'm getting ready to pray. And I prayed only to find out that God put breath back into her father's body, and his heart began to beat. And they said, listen, we need to get him out of here right away. We got to get him to the heart unit in Philadelphia. We got to get him. They had to airlift him from Milford, Delaware, to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I don't know the story, how it ended. Whether he lived, did he get there? I don't know if he died again in the helicopter. I didn't follow up because I didn't give her my information, and I dare not ask her for hers because it wasn't about me. It was about Jesus. That he get the credit for whatever goes on with us. It's not an I thing. It's a Jesus thing. Jesus did it, not I. I was the vessel that he used. And I was glad to be in that place that he could show her, the daughter, and the wife, a miracle. How long did the miracle stay with them? I have no clue. But God gave her back her father. For how long? I don't know. But we gave God the praise. I gave him the praise. I gave him the glory. I gave him the honor. But my Bishop R.L. Jefferson is gone. He prayed for me all the time. His daughter would say to me, you know, Patty, in the service this morning, Daddy called your name. And he said, God, her eyes, don't let her lose her vision. Do you know, tonight, it's been a long time. I have cleaned my glasses 3 times, and it still looked like somebody smeared grease on them. But thank you, Holy Ghost, for reminding me that R.L. Jefferson prayed the prayer that I'm not going blind. And yes, he's gone home to be with the Lord. He can't pray that prayer for me anymore. Every now and then, his daughter said, Daddy would call your name. When he found out that I had said yes to the Lord and started ministering, he said, I need you to come to Bellport and minister to Jefferson Temple. Then I was in New York, and I had been sick and in the hospital, and I kept hearing Bishop's name. I kept hearing his name, his name, his name, his name. Before I went to New York, I kept hearing the bishop's name. And I said, Lord, what is it? What is it? What is it? But the Lord didn't speak. Then I hear his name again. And while I was in New York, I was hospitalized. And on my way back, my husband came up to pick me up, to bring me back to Delaware. And I said to him, I said, listen, and I had on a sleeveless dress, and in my church, Church of God in Christ, they don't like for a woman to be, as they call it, undressed if you had your arms out, and that's fine. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm not dressed appropriately to walk into the church. But you know what? That didn't bother God, because he said, go to Bellport. Now, I'm heading down the road to go back to Delaware and come back home. And the Lord says, go to Bellport. And I said, huh? Had been but a few days out of the hospital. And the Lord said, Bellport. So I said to my husband, I said, listen, we got to go to Bellport. He said, huh? I said, I got to go to Bishop Ralph's church. I said, the Lord says I have to go to Bishop Ralph. And he said, okay, you'll have to tell me where to turn. And I said, just keep straight up 27. Don't turn until you see the sign. Say, Bellport, it's going to be a right exit, and then you're going to go left. And then we're going to make a right on Brookhaven Avenue, and just keep straight down in the church and be on the right. And that's what we did. And when we got to the church, my heart is heavy. I'm fighting back tears. When we got to the church, they were still in Sunday school. And they were so happy to see me. The saints were so happy to see me. They said, come on, and we are in Sunday school, evangelists. Come on in. Come on in. And I said, look, I'm not dressed. They said, just come on in. Bishop will be happy to see you. And I sat all the way in the back on the first pew there where the ushers usually sit at the door. I didn't want to go up front inappropriately dressed for church. And Bishop came in and he sat in the pulpit. He came in from his office. He was already at the church in his office. And he said, he asked God on Saturday night, I may just testify tonight, saints. He said on Saturday night, he was saying, Lord, what am I going to give your people in the morning? And he said he looked at a few things, but he still could not get clarity on them. And he said, well, God, I just don't know what I'll be speaking about tomorrow. You're not telling me anything. He said while he was at the church on Sunday, he's in his office, and he's got his Bible out, and he's looking, and he's looking, and he's looking, and yet he wasn't getting any results. He said, well, Lord, your word my mouth when I get up. So he came inside the sanctuary, and he sat down because Sunday school was still going on. And when he sat down, he said, he looked out over the sanctuary and all the way in the back of the church, he said, there's no window in the back of the church. Where is this light coming from? That's so bright. And he said he moved his head over a little bit. He said, there's somebody sitting there, but the light is so brighter. And he asked, who is that back there? And they said, that's Evangelist Patty. He said, my God. He said, an angel is in the house. And he said, tell her, come up. Come up here, he said, Patricia. That's what he always called me by my name. Never Patty, was always Patricia, he would say. And I said, no, Bishop, I'm not dressed. I said, but tell Bishop I have a word for him from the Lord. And he said, no, come up here, Patricia. I said, Lord, have mercy. And so I went up, and I stood in front of the altar, and he came, and he stood there. And I said, Bishop, I have a word for you from the Lord. He said, you have a word for me? I said, yes, sir. He says, oh, well, then don't just tell me. Tell Bellport. Tell Jefferson Temple. Come up here in the pulpit. I'm saying, Lord, got no sleeves. I got no sleeves. Lord. I said, Bishop, I'm there. He said, come on up here. God sent you with a word for Jefferson Temple. Come on. And I got up and hit protocol, give honor to God and all of the things that we were taught to do. And I began to tell him what the Lord speaking to me, because I did not know what God was going to say to him. All I know that God was telling me, I need you to go to Bellport. I need you to go to Bishop Ralph. God never told me what I was going to say until I stood in that pulpit. And God began to speak through my mouth. And I opened my mouth and began to speak. But thus saith the Lord. Bishop said, Bellport, Jefferson Temple, did you hear what the woman of God said? And they clapped and they praised God. They praised God. Bishop went down in a dance. And he said, listen, I said, so I'm, God is finished. He said, stay on up there and bring the message. He said, that's why I couldn't get anything, because God sent the word in the house. He said, what did I just, he said, listen, evangelist, listen to this. He said, Jefferson Temple, what did I tell you all about a month ago? You said, Pastor, we need a revival. Can you get somebody to come in and do a revival He said, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? I'm not going to call for a revival. God's going to send a prophet through the door. He said, did he do it? I knew none of this. About the same time that they were asking for a revival, a prophet to come, God began to deal with me in Delaware before I even journeyed to New York. Bishop Jefferson. So why wouldn't he let me know that I'm going to take him home? I love Bishop Jefferson. I love him to life and his family. God bless you. Oh, thank you for being in my life. He knew when I was born, and he gave me the utmost respect. And there was a song that he loved to hear me sing. I don't care. When I walked into his church, I could not leave out of his church until I sang. Without God, I can do nothing. And without him, I would fail. Without him, my life would be drifting. I'd be like a ship without a sail. He said, come on, Patricia, and sing my song. That's when he was Elder Jefferson. Then he was elevated to pastor. Then he was elevated to bishop. He called me and said, I want you to be my state supervisor. And I said, now, Lord, this is a conflict here because I love the bishop, but you told me that I am to pastor and not be a state supervisor. But because I loved him so much and wouldn't disrespect him, I said, all right, bishop, whatever you say. But I went to God after I spoke to him. I said, Lord, you fix this because you told me that I'm to pastor and not be a state supervisor. I said, but Bishop says, you told him to ask me to be a state supervisor. I said, now, Lord, you got to fix this. Because whatever way you fix it, that's what I'll do. If you want me to be a state supervisor in the Grand Old Church of God in Christ, then that's what I'll be. And if you want me to pastor, that's what I'll be. The Lord fix it. I'm a pastor and not a state supervisor. Bishop is gone. See, I would have to give up my post as state supervisor because the bishop is gone. But Jesus is yet here. Jesus is yet on the throne. Ah, he'll make it all right. He'll make it. Oh, right. God is worthy to be praised. Dr. Scott, I won't complain. Yes, I'm going to miss Bishop. I would have gone to New York if we weren't in this crisis that we're in. I would have went to see the bishop. He told me that he was sick. I would have made that trip to visit the bishop. Oh, let me finish. After I got done preaching on that Sunday at his church, he said, come on, Jefferson Temple. Let's get an offering. She brought the message. Let's get an offering. Now, let me just show you how God worked. I didn't have any money in my pocket. My husband had money. He came to pick me up and put gas in the car and all of that. But I didn't have any coins for me in my pocket. My husband always made sure I had everything I needed, so for him to give me money, that would not have been a problem. But sometimes you just like to have your own little change. Well, when I counted my money in the car going home, I had over $200. And he said, Patricia, he said, Madam Secretary, get her information because we got Women's Day coming up. And I want you to be the keynote speaker for Women's Day. Bless me. He wasn't able to stay for that service because he had overbooked himself. But he left me a check and told me, he said, earn your money, girl. Earn your money. And when church got out, they gave me the check for $500. So I said, did I earn the money? They said, you earned that plus, but Bishop ain't here. So we got to just give you this. So, you know, I'm going to miss my brother in Christ. But I won't complain tonight. For the many blessings that God has bestowed upon me, I want to learn how to give thanks with a merry heart. Give thanks for what he's given God's son. Let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich. This is November. This is Thanksgiving month that they've chosen. But I tell you, the psalmist said, every day, give thanks. But it's okay that they designate one day out of 365 days this year, 66 because of leap year. God has given you these days, and you only can take one day to do a family dinner, to get together. We had family dinner every week when I was growing up. Every week the family came together on Sunday and ate, sometimes Friday night. We were always doing things together. But I give thanks to the Lord for his benefits, life, health, and strength. And the songwriter said, I've had some good days and hills to climb and some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think it over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. Why? Because without God, I can do nothing. Without him, I would fail. I won't complain. Thank you, Jesus.
Good day, then I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and lonely nights. But when I look around and when I think things over, all good days, they outweigh my bad days. So I won't complain. Sometimes my clouds hang low, I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, why so much pain? But He knows what's best for me, although my will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God, God has been good to me.
Amen, amen, amen. We have to learn how not to complain and tell the Lord, thank you. For God has been good to me, and he's been good to you too. He's been very good. And we know that there's none like the Lord. None. Mm-mm. None like him. Oh, I tell you, he'll make it all right. After Scott, he'll make it all right.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
He'll make it all right. And we need to remind ourselves that the Lord will fix it. Whatever we need, He will supply. Whatever is broken, He'll fix it, because He is the one who will make it all right. There is no one that can fix it like the Lord can fix it. The psalmist said, "Can nobody do me like Jesus? Nobody can do me like the Lord. Nobody can do me like Jesus. Nobody can do me the Lord." Because why? He'll make it all right. I tell you, He'll fix it on tonight. He'll make it all right. He'll make it all right. I thank God for the weather here on this East Coast in the North. I know usually in the South it's nice. I'm in the South, but not deep South. But the weather has been phenomenally beautiful on today. I went for a walk, and as I was walking, I was telling God, thank you. First of all, thanking you for life, health, and strength. Secondly, thanking Him for that I'm able to walk and just give Him thanks and look at the beauty of the trees changing it. And I said to Dr. Scott earlier, I said, you know, Dr. Scott, I said, the walk was beautiful. The weather is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's 70 degrees in Delaware today, in Dover, and it's just beautiful and crisp. And I said, there's a difference, though, in the 70 spring and the 70 in the fall. I said, in the fall, this walk that I had today is different from the 70 walk in April. In April, the walk at 70 feels alive and invigorating. The aroma that's in the air in the spring is different from the aroma that was in the air today in the fall. In fact, the air quality today seemed heavy. But the air in the spring, everything is budding and flowers are blooming and putting forth their beautiful fragrance and their beauty. And in the fall, the trees are changing and giving us beautiful coloring, but they're dying. So therefore, it's not putting off that same scent that it had when it was alive budding. Now it's going off the scene. The tree itself is not going to die, but the leaves are going to fall off the tree and die. And God is just amazing. He amazes me. Oh, there is none like Him. I don't care how high man gets. He can run for the highest office on the world here, on the planet. But he will never be supreme like God. They can go to the Supreme Court, but the Bible says that the government shall be upon His shoulders. And the chastisement of our peace, come on, is with Him. We thank God for Jesus on tonight. He's the greatest. I don't know why Muhammad Ali took that slogan saying and he created for himself that I'm the greatest. But if Ali was living tonight, I would let him know, Ali, there's one greater than you. And his name is called Jesus. He'll make it. All right, you hold on to that. I don't know who in the archives may need this message. I don't know if South Carolina got on or not, but He will make it all right. Let's close out with Isaiah, the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah's gospel. You know, I always like to read something to you so that you know that I did read the word of God. Are we there yet? Listen, I'm looking at, I don't want to start at the very beginning, verse 1, and maybe I should, but I'm not going to. You read it. I've given it to you. Isaiah 40, 40th chapter of Isaiah. And I believe I want to start at verse number 24. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold whom hath created these things, that bringeth out of their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his mighty, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Question, why speak that? Why are you saying that your way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God? That's a question. Why are you saying such a thing, O Jacob? Why are you saying that, O Israel? Hast thou not known? Let me say that again. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Come on now, talk to him. Why are you saying that you have hidden something from the Lord? To whom? Come on now. Why are you saying such a thing? Why do you think that you can hide anything from God? Why do you think that you can get over on God? You think God can't see? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, Can it not? Did you know that? What's wrong with you? Why didn't you know that? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. If you're weak, God will give you power to overcome it. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. If you feel like you have no strength on this evening, God is able to increase what strength you have. He's able to do that. He's powerful. God has the power. He can give power to the faint and to them that have no might. You know, you're just out of it, so to speak. You're just out of it. But if you call on Jesus, he is able. He has the power to give you power. He's able to give power to your situation. He's able to do that. My God. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, my God, today, and I'm closing with this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He'll make it all right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God, give thanks for all that he has done. Amen? Amen. Bless his holy name. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you and have a good night. Looking forward to hearing from you next week. Be blessed.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
break it down right here. Everybody, say,
He
will
make
it
all
right.
I know.
He will.
He will.